24E?
24E.
24E? Oh, yes.
Agenda paper 24E looks at the feedback that we received with respect to IFRS 5, non-current assets held for sale and discontinued operations. This topic was shown as an additional possible research project in the request for views, because the IFRS Interpretations Committee had referred a number of practical issues on this to the board. Although it wasn't on the research program, 35 respondents, or 29%, referred to the topic. Most of these respondents were accountancy firms or standard setters. Few preparers and no investor respondents commented on IFRS 5, and no African, Latin American, or North American respondents identified IFRS 5 as important. You can see in the paper that 23 respondents ranked the topic, 7 is high, 13 is medium, and 3 is low. The New Zealand Accounting Standard Board thought this topic was of low priority because they weren't aware of any issues in their jurisdiction, and IOSCO also thought it was low because it had received mixed views from its members. Those who thought it was of high or medium importance referred to the number of issues that had been referred to the Interpretations Committee or discussed by the board, and there were 24 of these listed in Appendix A to the paper. The Interpretation Committee refers to its concerns in its own comment letter, which is quoted in the paper. Now, many respondents thought that IFRS 5 should be subjected to a review rather than attempting to address the issues through a series of narrow scope amendments, and a number of these respondents suggested that the board conduct a post-implementation review on the topic. Do you have any questions or comments on the paper, or is there any further information that you'd like to know about this subject?
I just wonder, in relation to post-implementation reviews, this keeps coming up, we have a policy, I think, at the moment that says we're reviewing the new ones as we go along, 2 years after they're implemented, and this wouldn't fit into that policy. And I wonder whether, as part of the agenda consultation, we shouldn't address that policy and see whether that is the right policy, or whether we should be going back over older standards like this one or not.
I have noted, Ian, in the paper, that in the due process handbook, it does say that we can carry out a post-implementation review if they're in response to concerns about the quality of an IFRS that has been expressed by either the IFRS Advisory Council, the Interpretations Committee, standard setters, or interested parties. So it does seem that we have the capability of deciding upon a post-implementation review.
Okay, that's good, but I just wonder whether we shouldn't think about a policy ourselves.
Right.
Well, I mean, what April just referred to was the, what was envisaged in the due process handbook, in that if there is trouble with a standard, then it's one of the tools available to the board to investigate the root causes of that problem. And so I think there isn't anything that would stop the board from doing that when it arises. And when we spoke to the Advisory Council about this topic back in February, the message that we got, or at least I took away from that, was that the council members were supportive of taking that sort of event-driven or needs-driven approach, so that rather than extend the review to automatically review older standards, but if there are older standards that are causing concern, that in response to those concerns, it could be one of the ways in which the board would respond.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I just am really saying the board itself could think about whether there's other circumstances when they'd like to do a post-implementation review anyway. I mean, are we bound by that? Does somebody have to complain before we do something? I just think it's part of this agenda consultation that we should be thinking through what it is we want to do in that regard.
Yeah, I don't think the board is bound to that. I think if it sees that there is a need to investigate, then it could initiate a review.
Okay. Sue?
This is an interesting one, because being one of the board members who attends the Interpretations Committee, I've had first-hand experience of how many questions come up and how difficult they are for the committee to answer, and even when they do get to clear answers, how disgruntled people can be in terms of how appropriate appropriate the outcomes might be. So, but it's interesting that it didn't really get that much of a high priority reading in the agenda consultation. So I think this is going to be a classic example of one where we're going to have to work out good criteria to, for the staff to come with recommendations for us in terms of how we prioritise something like this, because it probably only has pockets of effect, but they seem to matter a lot when it hits. And the thing with the PIRs, even if we go with that route, which I don't think is a bad suggestion actually, because it would be good, rather than opening it up, it would be good to know exactly all of the issues that we might have to look at if we were to do something more comprehensive. But the PIRs take an awful lot of time and they do use up a lot of resources. We haven't even closed the loop on the IFRS 8 one yet. So, you know, we have to sort of be aware of that, I think, when we think about the resource allocation.
And perhaps one factor that you might consider when having the discussion about the agenda next month is the timing of such a review. If you thought that a review was appropriate, when that might be. Is there an urgent need, or is it just a need at some stage in the future?
Pretty much the same views as Sue, and based on the same observations at the Interpretations Committee. And otherwise, I don't see any reason why the board should not feel free to do reviews of any standard issued by the IASB. Why cut off artificially with IFRS 3 and IFRS 2 or 5 are not part of this scope? Why this board, or our predecessors and IASB issued those standards? We should feel responsible for doing a post-implementation review for any standard issued by IASB based on objective criteria of a need for a review, not because they were issued in 2005 or 6 or 5.
Mary?
Several points around this. One is, as I said yesterday, more generically, I think if somebody responded low priority, I would almost take that as a don't do this rather than tepid support for doing it. We can't tell because it can't get in people's minds, but especially if you're presented with a fixed list of things that and you have to respond somehow. That's one thing. Second is I do think that the number of IFRIC submissions is a useful indicator to pause and say, is there a bigger problem here? We might not always answer yes, but it's a good indicator. Third is PIR. I see one downside or thing I think we'd have to manage, and I just think this should be factored into the staff's assessment that they bring us back, is that when you start a PIR, I think you create an expectation that if problems are identified, you will follow up with standard setting. And I think we, you know, have fallen into that. I'm going to ding Sue for saying we haven't closed the loop yet on our IFRS 8, because I think you built into the PIR loop automatically standard setting to do that. It was a separate decision we took, and we haven't finished that stage.
That's all I'm saying. It starts off a potential really long chain.
Yeah. And you know, I think if we start a PIR, we're setting up expectations that we're going to do something. It shouldn't stop us from doing it, but just have to think about that. Two more things. We're almost done. One is a general message coming out of the agenda consultation that there's some consultation exhaustion on the part of our stakeholders. So maybe if we're thinking about a PIR, if the staff could include in its assessment for May, if we were to approach it with a PIR, is there another PIR that we could pair it with so that basically we're doing one, go out to stakeholders and let's talk about effectiveness of standards? Or is it something that we could look at in connection with the performance reporting primary financial statements, because it seems linked to some of those? And then the last thing is that IFRS 5 is a largely converged with US GAAP standard. Shouldn't stop us if there's a problem from fixing it, even if it's unilateral. But I think if the staff is assessing questions we'd have to ask and input that we'd need, not to forget to ask people to comment about that.
Okay. We don't need to vote on this either.
No. Huh?